Law and Gospel on this Monday, August the 13th in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host. This is a call-in program at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And as is our custom, we examine the readings for the coming Sunday on each Monday. First of all, though, I do want to say thank you very much. A wonderful people at St. John's Lutheran Church in Red Bud, Illinois, was able to preach on Saturday, twice on Sunday, a great Bible study. And we particularly thank those of you who, among other items you bought, you also bought Joan Voges's, and she's a member at St. John's, her CDs. She's got two CDs now, and she provides the money for KFUO. So I came in today and gave Joni a little bit of money that we had gotten from selling some of her CDs for KFUO. Good people at St. John's Lutheran Church, even though every one of them is a sinner, as they themselves confessed, but they are forgiven sinners. Well, normally we have three readings to examine, but every now and then they put in a fourth one. Sometimes it's another gospel. Sometimes there's actually two sets of readings on special holy days, two Old Testaments, two epistles, two gospels. But this coming Sunday, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, there are two Old Testament readings, one epistle, and one gospel. And we're going to try and answer the questions today. Why does Joshua speak of choosing which God to follow if it's not possible? Second, is Chick-fil-A correct that God will bring wrath on this country? And third, if you don't eat the Lord's Supper, do you go to hell? We're going to be taking a look at these items. But first of all, I'm going to say that the one Old Testament reading we're not going to be looking at is Proverbs chapter 9, 1 to 10. It's all about wisdom has built her house. And verse 6, I just want to go over a little bit. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Now, you can understand the whole book of Proverbs from a secular point of view or from a spiritual point of view. I really believe that the book of Proverbs, when it says forsake something, that is the way people live who are living under the law. And when it says go and do something, that is for the theologian of the cross. And it sure works here. Forsake foolishness and live. Even the Apostle Paul regards the cross of Christ as foolishness, ridiculousness. Yesterday, when I was talking to our good folks at Red Bud, we were talking about how it is just against common sense to think the way the Bible thinks. Instead, go in the way of understanding. But whose understanding? Not your understanding, but God's understanding. But how do I know what God's understanding is? That's where the Bible reveals His will, His understanding. And then Solomon often kind of puts a practical nature to the Proverbs. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. I gave an example of that, actually, although it wasn't in light of Proverbs, but gave an example of that yesterday. I took a person and I said, now, I don't really mean this, but let's say I got some really good news for you. And you say, oh, what's the good news you have? And then I take out of my pocket a breath mint and give it to you. Now, that would be good news to somebody who recognizes they have bad breath. And maybe they're even looking, boy, has anybody got a breath mint? Because I just had some onions with my hamburger, and boy, I need to get rid of this. But most people would take great offense at that. Well, what, do you think I got bad breath? Well, I wouldn't be giving you a breath mint if I thought you had good breath. No, a scoffer who doesn't want to believe that they really have a need for what you have will hate you. That's why the Pharisees, the unbelieving Pharisees, hated Jesus, because he told them they needed the forgiveness of sins which he alone could provide. Well, we know you. You're Joseph's son. We know your brothers and sisters. How can you tell us that you're the Son of God? See, it doesn't make any sense to them. So this is really a kind of good proverb. Jesus puts it this way, don't throw pearls to the swine. In other words, if you have a pig that's really hungry, oh, pearls are expensive, but they're not going to feed a pig. They want corn or something along that line. Now, he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Now, that's a really good point, too. Because being wicked means that you aren't thinking like God, and therefore you are full of self-interest. To rebuke somebody who is full of self-interest, oh, they'll look at you and say, well, who are you to judge me? Or they'll even use Bible verses, judge not lest you yourselves be judged. In other words, they will be defending their self-importance as much as possible. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Yes, there's no doubt about that. For example, when you are criticized, do you take it personally, as though it's an attack against you? No, you should take it and see, okay, what can I learn from this that I can improve myself? Well, when we went through the seminary, we would do sermons. And many a time, the professor would criticize our sermons. And if we said, well, look, this is the Word of God, I don't care what you have to say, we wouldn't have graduated from the seminary, hopefully. The fact is, we're always wanting to learn more on how to do sermons that the Holy Spirit can use to bring someone to faith or to increase that wisdom and that knowledge they have concerning Jesus Christ. So just a little side mark. When you look at the book of Proverbs and they have these antitheses throughout the book, just think in terms of law and gospel, because that's really what the book is talking about. Well, the reading probably going to be read in most churches, though, is from Joshua, when he gathers all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, and he talks to them about all that the Lord had done in bringing them safely to the land of Canaan. And he says, we now need to serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, if Joshua is talking to unbelievers, how can he say, choose whom you will serve this day? Well, if you take a look at the text, and I think most people absolutely miss this, the choice is never the true God. Did you notice that? It's either the gods which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land they are now dwelling. There isn't an option to choose to serve the Lord. Why is that? Because the beginning of that sentence where Joshua begins, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, listen to whom he's talking to. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Now, to whom would it seem evil to serve the true Lord? Unbelievers. Can they have a choice in choosing which God to follow? They can have a choice in choosing whichever false God they want to follow. This is critical. Because I often hear this verse in evangelical circles. Well, even Joshua says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But this is a clear law and gospel distinction. If you are speaking to an unbeliever, the only choice they're going to be able to make is between false gods. And that's very clear. By the way, this is verse 15 of Joshua chapter 24. Now, who is Joshua speaking to when he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Well, listen to the response of the people. So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Now, why do they want to serve the Lord? Because prior to serving the Lord must come faith. And what do we mean by faith? Faith, not that God exists, not that he died on the cross, not that he rose from the dead. None of that is saving faith. That's just historic faith. I mean, the history is all true, but it doesn't save anybody. What really saves is believing the promises of God that he has delivered you. So listen to the people who are going to not serve other gods and serve the Lord. "For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed." Remember, he did those great signs in our sight. Yes, the word sign, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, it can be translated as miracle, but no, miracles have a purpose, and it's the sign attached to the miracle that's important. When Jesus did miracles, remember, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the dead were raised. He himself says those items to John the Baptist for what sign? To demonstrate that he was indeed the promised Messiah. This is absolutely critical, that you don't look at miracles just as a way of maybe feeding your stomach or being healed or something. No, something far greater is the sign from heaven pointing down to Jesus as the Messiah. Well, what signs did the people have in the wilderness? Well, they had God as the angel of the Lord in a cloud during the day and a burning pillar of fire at night. What sign was that? As soon as they saw it, they knew God was with them. That was the sign. And also the signs of manna from the sky and water from a rock and birds flocking in untold numbers when they wanted meat to eat. Yes, on one hand, you just see the miracle. But on the other hand, you see the sign to what it is pointing to, namely, you have a merciful and gracious God. That's the real sign of the cross, by the way. The real meaning of the cross isn't just that Jesus died on the cross. The real meaning of the cross is he died for you, for me, for the whole world. So, it's very clear here that when Joshua is talking about "you choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve," he's not talking to the believers. He's talking to those who it seems evil for them to serve the Lord. So the only choices he gives them are false gods. But to those who are believers, then they join with Joshua and his house as they serve the Lord. But that faith came first, given to them by the Holy Spirit as he worked through the wonderful word. The fact of the matter is that if you're a Christian, it's not because you chose to invite Christ into your heart, because he wouldn't come. If you're an unbeliever, he's not going to come into your heart. It's a horrible heart. It's a dirty heart. You need to have created within you a clean heart. And you have about as much opportunity to create a clean heart within you as you have of doing your own heart transplant. Can you imagine that? Lying down, looking up and seeing a mirror, and you're working on transplanting your own heart, never will happen. And yet so many people think that they invite Christ into their heart. They want to take the credit for choosing, when in reality that's a work of the devil to get you to think like that. Point two, is Chick-fil-A correct that God will bring wrath on this country? Where do we get that from? Well, first of all, one of the items that the Chick-fil-A administration, I think it was the chairman of the board or the owner or whoever it was, he was making the point that gay marriage and the homosexual lifestyle is something where God could bring destruction upon this country. And a lot of people said, oh, so you can read the mind of God, can you? Well, the fact is, we have a biblical documentation and a historical record that shows that God indeed brings upon countries his wrath when they are sons of disobedience. Nobody heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Nobody heard of unbelieving Israel at the time of the Babylonian captivity? And again in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple? This was a people who had fallen away from the true God. But in case you're wondering, are there any Bible verses that talk about God's anger coming upon the world? Well, it's part of our epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In fact, I think the next part is very good too. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Just not too long ago, there was a store that makes wedding cakes. And a gay couple came in who were going to get married, and they wanted to have a cake made, and the store refused to do that because it's owned by Christians. They're not going to make a cake in honor of a gay marriage, which is an abomination before Almighty God. And, of course, they're being sued now. It's going to be really interesting. I think from all that I've heard, they'll probably win the case, and they won't have to make the cake because you don't have to make something. If somebody came in and they wanted something really obscene written on the cake and you refused to do that, that would be fine. Nothing would happen to you. The fact is right now, some in the country are changing their views that gay marriage should be permitted. But it's still not a civil right. It's still not the laws of the land. And so, just like any Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation, we are not going to permit a practicing gay individual to join the congregation and take the Lord's Supper. Why? Is that our rule? No. It's God's rule. Because according to 1 Corinthians 11, when you take the Lord's Supper in an unrepentant state, you can take it to your hurt. Even if you're a Christian, you can get sick, and some Christians were even dying. The Bible says they fell asleep, which is kind of a euphemism for Christians who die. Yes, there are temporal consequences, even though there may not be any eternal consequences for your sin. But there are temporal consequences, and one of them is misusing the supper of our Lord. And when that is done in a way in which, guess what? People are not following the word of God, you're in big trouble. So, the only thing I would say about Chick-fil-A is look how long it took God to bring wrath and destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, they went through a period of time where God took away the normal consequences of sin, where what they once thought was wrong, they now thought was right, and vice versa. Why? Because God took away the normal consequences of sin, which is the worst wrath that you can endure. It's kind of like leprosy. Well, what's so bad about leprosy? Why do people, you know, have distorted fingers and feet? It's because what leprosy does, it doesn't, as I understand it, take away that flesh. What it does, it takes away the feeling. So that a person with leprosy, if he put his hand on a hot burner, he wouldn't know it, because he would have no feeling. And yet his hand would burn. And so stub your toe and just imagine if you couldn't feel pain, how bad your body would look after a while. You know, sometimes we get angry because we feel pain. Thank the Lord that we have those kind of nerve endings so that we aren't lepers. Which is kind of interesting that the way Jesus cured a leper is he gave them the ability to have pain. You ever think about that? When they were a leper, they didn't feel pain. But once they were cured, they could feel pain. And that was a gift. That's why Christianity is best known for its suffering. Because in suffering, you receive the need for Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus is you need to be really careful who is teaching in your church, what they are saying. Because if there's nothing but empty words there, and boy, are we ever hearing empty words today. Empty words that say, well, the body inside a woman is really her body, and so she can do with it whatever she wants. And if she wants to put it to death, she has the right to do that. You know, that, I find that just so fascinating, because what would you do with somebody if they wanted to cut off their hand? Would you let them do that? I doubt it, especially if it's your child. And they say, hey, it's my hand, I can do with it as I want. No, somebody who's thinking about doing that, there's something wrong with them mentally. And so they need to maybe be put into a place where they can be kept safe from harming themselves. So this doesn't make any sense. Just because it's a part of the body of the woman that therefore she can have anything she wants to do with it. No, that's absolutely contrary to nature and proper science. Whether the wrath of God is going to be coming upon this country because now certain administrative officials think it's okay to have gay marriage, I don't know. God may wait a long time as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, or he may not wait a long time. In fact, if you take a look around right now, well, once you have abortion in your country, the death of children, you ought not be surprised that a place like Chicago is having more deaths on a weekend than Afghanistan. Because these children are growing up, probably without fathers, and they don't have a sense of the worth of life because of their experience. Now, I'm not saying they ought not be blamed, because they still use their free will to do violence. But you can understand why such violence is okayed in their minds, because they see it happening by their mothers, by their friends, and by society at large. There's a real breakdown in the morality of the natural law. You don't even have to go to the Bible. I've said a number of times, when we were in a pro-life rally, we stood with Orthodox Jews and Muslims holding up pro-life signs. Because being pro-life is not anything distinctly Christian. It's just natural. Just ask any doctor. Is that a reptile that that woman has when she's pregnant for the first 8 months and then it becomes a human being? No, no, no. It's a human being from day one. And that is serious. Our third question, if you don't eat the Lord's Supper, will you go to hell? I only mention that because the gospel reading from John 6 seems to say that. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We're going to continue this discussion then, probably Wednesday, when we'll also touch the hymn of the day. But keep in mind, the third reading then, we'll be examining on this coming Wednesday at 2:05 p.m. here on Law and Gospel. Tomorrow's Law and Gospel is going to be with Pastor Mark Smith again. We're going to be taking a look at the Sunday school lesson where Paul writes to, well, his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, you know, Christians don't receive a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Would you like to know what that means? I'll tell you, it's a real comfort to you and brings solid hope. That's on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.
This is Alan Erd.